Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's got to 2-2 and we've still got more than half an hour to go, and here's Ozil, Lacazette, Ozil!
Yo!
Could it went left, but it went right. Could have went wrong, but it went right. Said it was Ian, but it went right.
Mamma got bars on
bars on site. MVP
in the
Hello, welcome to another Touchy Gooners podcast. My name's Lewis. I'm joined by Sean again. Sean, it's just me and you, man. What's going on? We're just keeping this podcast afloat.
Everyone else is slacking, mate, honestly.
Yeah, it's because there's no football, man.
Yeah, do you know what? It's just throwing us all off, man. We're supposed to be playing every 3 days.
Isn't it? You know. That's not what I signed up for, man. We came into this period like, man, how are we going to deal with all these games? Like, we get midfield crisis, Douglas Luiz, we haven't signed him. Literally, like, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we played, like, one game. And Partey's back in training. Crisis averted, right?
Yeah, to be fair, like, because it was looking like October would be peak. But obviously, you know, we'll see what happens. Obviously, we've got a game this weekend, and then it's the international break. And then obviously after that next game back is literally 1st of October, North London Derby. So yeah, man, let's see. Hopefully, obviously, we can win this weekend. Clean bill of health for, you know, the internationals, and we can come back and slap Spurs.
Sure. Well, let's talk about Brentford then, because that is our next game. We're supposed to play PSV tomorrow for some reason. That's, you know... I mean, the authorities have said that game can't go ahead. So it will be. Do you have a day for when? Oh, we got Dr. Lee joining us as well. Let me add Dr. Lee. Dr. Lee, how you doing, mate?
All good, man. All good. How are you guys?
Yeah. All good. We're just about to talk about the upcoming Brentford game.
Don't mind me. You carry on.
Yeah, so obviously when is the PSV game being rescheduled for, Sean? I think it's
the 20th of October. I can't remember.
Is that also going to be on like a Thursday, right?
I need to double check. It's a midweek game. It was the day we were supposed to play Man City, so there wasn't supposed to be any European football.
So we're going to be the only team playing it midweek in that, like, in a European game.
Basically, because of what's happened. So yeah.
Boy, these monarchs, eh? These monarchs. Yeah, anyway. A podcast for another day, maybe. But yeah, let's look ahead to Brentford. Trying to think of how Brentford have started this season. I know they gave someone a good thumping, right? It was United they've given a good thumping to. They beat someone 5-2 the other day, didn't they?
It was Leeds.
Yeah. I think they've had a bit of an indifferent start because they won that game against Man United. Like, was that first game of the season or second game of the season?
Second, yeah.
Yeah, and then they didn't win for like three games. And then obviously they beat Leeds. But yeah, they're a bit. Brentford are like one of those teams. Really, they can be really, really good on their day.
To be fair, they've only lost once. They
lost to Fulham.
Two, drawn three, lost one. So, I mean,
I think for Brentford, that's really good. Yeah.
Really good, you know, can bearing in mind whatever their relative spend is compared to loads of other teams in the Prem. Thomas Frank, I think he's done a really good job there, to be fair.
Mate, don't you think it's kind of surprising that he's really under the radar as a Premier League coach? Like, you never get him linked to bigger jobs or anything like that.
I think he's done really well, and nobody actually speaks about him, to be fair. Nobody speaks about him. Nobody speaks about Brentford generally.
It's true.
And Brentford came up, they didn't spend hella
money. Why do you think that is? Because, Thomas Frank should have been like manager of the year last year. When you think about achievements compared to, you know, what people thought we would happen, when we did that preview podcast at the start of the season, right? Mm-hmm. When Brentford thumped us at their gaff at Griffin Park, we all literally looked at Brentford's team and said, right, don't know any of their players, 100% going down. And they survived comfortably. Like,
I know it was very, very comfy as well.
Like, it was, you know, so what, comfy.
I feel like they're just not a very sexy team. Like, I can't lie. Like, I don't wake up in the morning and, you know, just think, oh, looking forward to watching Brentford this weekend. Yeah. You know, and maybe that's a bit harsh because I did in the Championship, actually, I actually quite enjoyed watching Brentford, especially when they had like Ben Rama there as well, when they had like Ollie Watkins as well. And funnily enough, that's when they didn't come up, but you know, obviously, then you had Ivan Toney, who set the Championship record, which was then broken by Mitrovic. But he's probably the standout guy. And, you know, I have to be totally honest and hold my hands up. I watched him last season. I thought, oh, he's okay. You know, like, I'm not blown away. But I'm going to be honest, I'm holding my hands up and I'm starting to see a lot more quality from him. You know, like, generally, like, I thought he can get goals, but I'm not sure about his overall play. But I saw him against Leeds and some of the stuff I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this guy's actually got quality, like general, like, actual quality. It's not just the case of, you know, he's a goal scorer. He can, you know, technically, he's very, very nice with the ball at his feet. So, fair play, man.
Was it Dan Coogs who got absolutely massacred in the group because he said he would take Ivan Toney as like a number two striker? Absolutely crucified.
Yeah.
Has anyone come round to Dr. Lee? What about you? You come round to Ivan Toney? The nah, idea of Ivan Toney?
Not at all, man. All just drip and drown football, brother. I need to kill him. Because, like, he's got the box. He's a good footballer. He's got good execution. He's not a goal scorer. He doesn't have that open play goal scoring gene. I'm not feeling him. I'm sorry.
How many has he got this season?
Good. Yeah, but okay. Take away set pieces, take away all the free kicks and the pens and all that. How many chances do you see him get? What's his open play XG? I want to see that for you.
Nah, I feel you're being a bit harsh, you know. No. I can't lie to you because when I watch Brentford, are Brentford creative like that? You know, bro, like, it's hard to score goals in the Prem, bro. I can't lie to you.
But when I see the ball out wide at Brentford, I see man chilling in the end at the edge of the box, admiring his pass out to the wing, admiring his spray. I don't see him. When you see Martinelli do that, where do you see him go? When you see Gabriel Jesus do that, where do you see them go? Nah, me telling you, he's hungry for it.
Are there any other Brentford players you guys think could play at a higher level? Like, I really like David Rea. I think we were definitely onto something when we were linked with him.
They didn't want to sell it.
For 12 million, was it?
I can't even remember what it was, but yeah, they were pretty adamant they didn't want to sell. But yeah, I think he's a good goalie, man.
He's like a very complete goalkeeper. Like, he's got the distribution on deck. He's probably a better goalkeeper than Ramsdale.
In all aspects
of his keeping, from what I've seen, I think he looks better than like Ramsdale. I think Ramsdale's probably a better distributor, but he's a very complete goalkeeper. I think he's definitely someone who could play up the level, like if a big team wanted to get him. But is there anyone else in their team that you guys think could, you know, potentially play for like a top six team, say?
I don't know, man. I'm a fan of, obviously, he's not even played much yet. They signed Mikael Damsgaard from Sampdoria, and if you remember him, he was really good for Denmark at the Euros, and he's a really good technician, but not seen much of him for Brentford yet. So but I do like him, but generally I don't know, man. I like Josh De Silva. You know, he's ex-Arsenal as well. So
he don't play much either, does he?
No. He had a big injury.
Okay.
So he's back now and he's yeah. playing. But other than that, I'm looking at it and I'm like,
what about Mbeumo?
He's all right.
I think Mbeumo's quality, man.
Do you?
Yeah. I don't know like what level, but he like when he gets the ball on that right hand side. I'm thinking there's danger signs, mate. He's very good, I think, especially in like a transition kind of attack. I think he's very good. Quite what level? I think someone like maybe like Newcastle or could take a chance on an Mbeumo. I really do.
And to be fair, maybe we do need to give them more credit because the fact of the matter is they're quite comfy in the Prem.
Right, so they must have some decent players, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's gonna be a tough game. Obviously, we all have like the nightmares of what happened to us last year at Brentford. I mean, when we look back to that team, let me get the lineup for that game so we can all, you know, see how much the team has changed since then. So our team going into that game was Leno in goal, gone. Tierney, left back, who probably won't play. Pablo Mari, gone. Ben White played that game. Callum Chambers, right back, gone. Lokonga, centre mid, probably will play.
They've been saying Partey's been in full training since last week, so it depends on the call they make on him. But
right.
I'm imagining they might just stick with Lokonga. Right. I don't know. Depends what they think.
Well, interestingly, our centre mid partnership that day was Xhaka and Lokonga, so not really a good omen and they got bopped that day. Emil Smith Rowe in the 10, probably won't start. Pepe on the right, Martinelli on the left, and Balogun up front. So, you know, essentially, you know, over half that team is gone. Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting game because we really did struggle first game of the season last year, and set pieces they were sticking it on us, boy. Like they had our number that day with the set pieces. Where do you see Brentford's strengths, you know, lying ahead of this game? Where do you think they could really hurt us?
But they're quite a physical team, and that's what always worries me.
Yeah.
Our physicality has improved somewhat this season, and mainly because of improvements from our current team, like or our current players like Saka and Martinelli and stuff. Mm-hmm. We're a lot more intense, but physical teams always worry me, and I always think it's going to be a tight game regardless, unless we really are really efficient and clinical in the final third. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's where Brentford will take advantage of that and set pieces. I feel that that's where they're going to get their joy.
Yeah, they've got, like, when I look at their team names, right, it's like, their players' names, sorry, it's like, they got Vitali Janelt in midfield, you know, they've got Pontus Janssen in defence, Ivan Toney, it's like, they just even sound rough. Ben Mee in defence, like, they just sound Viking. Like,
they're yeah,
Shandon Baptiste, like, it just sounds like they're strong, you know, and that analysis, I don't know where that's come from, but it's just, you know, off the cuff a little bit. But I definitely agree with the physicality angle. I haven't watched much of them this year, I have to admit. But definitely that seemed to be an issue against Man United. Like, they overran Man United on a mad one. Like, who played Man United midfield that way? It was Eriksen, right? All the jokes about Eriksen were popping off. Where Eriksen
they pressed United off the park in that first half, yeah. Especially, man. I remember.
Yeah, they played Eriksen as the sixth, right, in that game, didn't they?
That was insane.
Peak. Yeah, and they absolutely tumped Man United up that game. So yeah, I mean they shouldn't be, they're not to be messed with, Brentford, I don't think. But let's talk a little bit about us, because we've had a long break. Like I said in the intro, we were expecting this period to be super, super busy and maybe have to rotate a little bit for this game. But it looks like we're going to have essentially a full squad available to us, right? I mean, Partey, yeah. I don't know what's going on with
Smith Rowe and Cedric, everyone else is fit.
Cedric, man, he ain't an Arsenal player, bro. He's a Portugal national team player. That's it. I don't know. He ain't associated to Arsenal.
Yeah. So it looks like everyone's available, man. So yeah. I think the team's quite easy to pick. Only probably ones you'll debate will be, you know, if they deem Partey fit enough to start or not. So
if he is 75% fit, do you play him in this game?
Nah, I don't want to, because I just don't want to. the season's long, bro. I don't want to make any unnecessary risks and have to lose him further, because once we come back from that international period, we've got a lot of tough games in October. So
right. Is he going away with Ghana?
Yeah, Ghana have already called him up. They're taking the piss.
Who are they playing, bruv?
Do you know what it is? It's because obviously it's the last international break before the World Cup, innit? So everyone, like, all
surely
the
we can pull some, if we can pull strings with Brazil, surely we can pull some strings with Ghana. Play fucking Angola, bruv. Come on, man.
The thing is, it's because he's captain as well.
Oh, they're playing Brazil as well, to be fair.
Oh, are they?
They've got Brazil in a friendly.
They need to scrap all these bullshit friendlies, man.
It's so mad. It's so mad, like, that in a season like this, World Cup literally in 3 months, they're doing... That is the worst idea in football, honestly, this World Cup in the middle of the season. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But yeah, Dr. Lee, what about you? Would you take any risk with Partey in this game, considering that the midfield last time out against Brentford was Xhaka and Lokonga, and they struggled so much with
Brentford's physicality? Nah, because we can't cut. We need him for the long term. If he doesn't play in our run-in in October, we are fucked. Like, October is make or break for us, really. Like, that will really define our season that month. So he needs to play all the Premier League games. I don't want to see him in any of the Europa League games.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make him in tip-top shape. And I would throw Ghana a cheeky 10 bags, 20 bags if they can do my
You think they'll buy that, yeah?
Bruv, whatever it costs, like.
To be honest, the Ghana coach is like German Zan's uncle or something. So,
he's getting German Zan's like, say, yeah, boy, boss man, you need to pull off his chain.
German Dan, have a word.
You know. Well, yeah, we'll sort it out, lads. We'll sort it out. We'll get German Dan on the blower. Is it like a a done deal that Lokonga starts in midfield, or would you guys tweak anything? You know, there's a lot of talk about maybe Zinchenko maybe coming into midfield. We do have Tierney, you know. Would you stick with Lokonga even after his, you know, I wouldn't call it a horror show against Man United, but you know, maybe his confidence would have been impacted a little bit by the performance and the fallout afterwards. Would you guys stick with Lokonga?
Yeah. And not because I'm a massive fan, but because of, you know, one of the things we spoke about last season was when Arteta used to try and fix one thing, he used to then move like 2-3 pieces around, and that would compound the issue. So it's more a case of, for me, just keep the same dynamics. Obviously, Lokonga isn't optimal. He's not ideal in that position. But, you know, I don't like moving Zinchenko from where he is personally. Just because... Obviously, you know, Arteta's trying to get Tierney to continue the same dynamics as Zinchenko, but the reality is he just can't do what Zinchenko can. He just can't. So it forces us to change again. And, you know...
With Brentford's physicality, is it a game for Tierney, though?
Maybe. But I don't know, man. People said, you know, and Bournemouth are rubbish, but people said Bournemouth were physical before we played them. And, you know, it just didn't transpire. So let's see, man. I'm not as big on that as, you know, I just want us to play our football, man. So, you know, that's what I've seen, and that's what's encouraged me most this season. So I don't want to change the dynamics from the good things I have seen. You know, throughout pre-season, I saw the build-up was good and the intensity and the aggression at which we played that was good. So let's keep those same dynamics and not change too tight.
Sure. Dr. Lee, what about yourself? Would you make any changes for this game?
Not really. I'd go full strength. I'd keep Lokonga in because I don't think we have another option. Mm-hmm. And I'd just keep it moving, man. And hopefully, like, our ones up top can countenance if he makes any fucking errors again. So,
sure. Yeah. Definitely. Just before we move on to some listeners' questions, I actually wanted to talk a little bit about Marquinhos and, you know, his development so far. And we didn't do a podcast after the Zurich game, but although we won the game, I don't think the performance was particularly great. I only watched the highlights, but didn't seem to be much going on on in that game. But, you know, obviously the performance of Marquinhos really did stand out. Did that performance give you guys any kind of, not relief isn't the right word, but you know, just a little bit of confidence that, okay, maybe we do have some options on that right-hand side. Maybe Marquinhos is a little bit better than we thought. Maybe a little bit more ready to start games as well. And, you know, gives us another option if and when we need it.
Yeah. Go on, Leroy.
No, you know what? It's very, very difficult to tell. We haven't seen much of him, you know? But, and obviously the level of competition wasn't great, but he's really piqued my interest. I can't lie to you. He's really, really got my interest. The reason for me is what I saw him do in the few actions that we saw, the quality of what he was doing in the final third was really good, and the decision-making was really good. My question now is he athletic enough? Because I wish he was a bit more explosive and had a bit more burst. But if he's athletic enough to cope in the league, in the Premier League as such, and create separation and make a difference with that level of quality and decision making, I definitely think he can be an option. Now, the issue is our wide players are really good. They're both kind of like unicorns because they both kind of do a bit of everything. I was saying in the group the other day, they go in behind, they come to feet. They both come inside and play make now, especially with Martinelli increasing that this season. They both run off the ball. They both dribble 1v1 and beat their men. They both end up in the box and shoot and either score goals or are close to scoring goals in if you're looking at Saka, etc. So I feel like our wide people are quite complete. So he doesn't really have the isolation ability and the 1v1 ability, but you don't always need that to be a good, effective player. Like, not every right winger is fantastic 1v1. Now, yes, in our system, it's quite important, but I'm feeling that if he has the ability to at least burst past people, particularly in transition or particularly in open space, we might have a player on our hands. But obviously, it's difficult to tell from one game, but he's interesting. I'm watching.
Yeah, his quality definitely seemed like it stood out, really, like his final ball, like you said. But, you know, I think with the physicality aspect that you're talking about, do you remember like a couple of years ago, we sat here and we'd be on a pod saying, we don't know if Saka had the burst or the 1v1 ability to be a top level right winger. Right? Do you remember we used to do these pods? We had these discussions on the pod, right?
I said he had to develop a Mane-like athleticism for him to be a top winger.
So do you think that that's... you know, we've done Saka's improved physically so much. So do you think we could do the same with Marquinhos? Get him on that Saka pack, man.
Maybe, but Saka was 17.
But Marquinhos only what, 19, right?
Yeah, but Saka was 17.
He looks a lot older than 19, so I don't know.
19-20 is a massive difference physically.
But still, Saka, don't you feel like Saka is still, even from last season, I feel like Saka has come on a lot physically, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. So it's going to be interesting to watch. But
Eddie, I feel like Eddie's improved physically as well.
Yeah, no, Eddie too. Eddie's been in the gym. Eddie's been doing some mad squats. I don't know what he's doing, Pilates or something. Whatever he's doing, they need to get everyone on it because, you know.
Yeah. Sean, what's your thoughts on Marquinhos, man? Are you you don't see? I was looking at your facial expressions while Dr. Lee was talking. You didn't seem really phased by much.
No, I don't have much to say, like, just on him at the moment, just because, like Leroy says, we've got such a small sample size. We've got next to nothing to go on with him. So, I'm you know, hoping to see a bit more 1v1 stuff. So let's see if he shows that as he goes along. It's hard to be too critical because, you know, he made his first start and he got a goal and assist as a 19-year-old on his first start.
And he created some other chances as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he looks to have decent decision-making. So it's a case of, you know, can he add more? And I think the comparison you made with Saka, because, you know, those were not necessarily criticisms, but those were things we said, you know, we hadn't seen from him. And he started to show us. So, you know, if Marquinhos can do that, that would be great. So you know, and obviously he's going to get these minutes in the Europa League now. It's a good breeding ground for him. It's a good opportunity to rest Saka. So let's see if he can take it more, man. So yeah, no, I'm interested to see what he can bring.
Sure. Were there any other standout performance for you guys in the Zurich game? Anyone that you wanted to mention? No.
That game.
Tomiyasu. What, in a positive light or a negative light?
Positive. He was cold.
Oh, okay, good. I didn't see the game, so
keep both foot in it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was trying to eat at the same time and do work. But his both foot in this is insane. And it's such a good weapon because you can switch it calmly, left foot, no problems. But solid defensively, great on the ball, great pass selection. He's a proper player, man, Tommy Asu.
We've been having these kind of discussions in the group. A few people obviously think that Ben White is a better right back than Tomiyasu. I think some people have even said that they think Ben White is better on the ball, a better passer than Tomiyasu. Where do you guys stand in that, you know, debate? Because I still think Tomiyasu is a better right back than Ben White. I just think he's a better defender in that position.
I think they both have certain things that they could probably take from each other. So, for example, Ben White can't use his left foot like Tomiyasu can. Tommy's comfy, literally comfy off either foot with no issue. What I will say, though, I think Ben White has greater running power. You know, like, he's quicker. He can carry the ball better. He doesn't, you know, he gets through a big, copious amount of work, actually. And I can't remember, I put that stat in the group the other day, that he's... Of all the dribblers he's faced, he's got like a 70.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one. Tackle. Yeah. The highest, right?
Yeah, and it's the highest. I'm pretty sure it's the highest in the league. So,
I can't think of too many people that have burnt him this year. You know, really, like,
If you remember the first game of the season, people thought Zaha burned him. Yeah. Like, you know, he didn't. And Zaha had, I think, one moment against him, but then he had like 5-6 moments where Ben White just took the ball off him, you know. But I think, you know, sometimes in moments in football, you remember the one moment where someone got cooked. Then you don't remember like every other moment where just to come back and answer the question, it's an interesting one. I think there are contrasts. It's a contrast in style that they both bring different things to the game. But in my opinion right now, I've not seen any reason to drop Ben White. So, but, you know, like I said, it's a long season.
Strongest 11, who do you start? Like, is the cup
right
final,
now? Say it was Europa League final tomorrow. Yeah. I would still start Ben White.
Dr. Lee?
Tough decision. Because I don't think there's much... I think it's a coin toss between them.
Mm.
But simply because Ben White's been playing in that first 11, for continuity, I'll start Ben White.
Yeah, fair. He's probably going to do quite a bit to get back in the team, isn't he, Tommy?
But the thing is, I value availability a lot. I can't lie. Like, even from like last season, Ben White played almost every game.
Yeah.
You know, like... I checked the stats the season before, played every single game in the league for Brighton.
Yeah.
Season before that, he played 46 games for Leeds in the Championship. He played every single game. So, you know, I think for me, I value availability a lot. And, you know, this is not really a slight on Tomiyasu because I really like him, but he has availability issues, you know.
Definitely. And that is a big issue, right?
And that's the fact of the matter why he's lost his place in the team. It's the same reason ESR lost his place in the team. You know, I'm sure, because I've seen a couple of listeners' questions, I'm sure we'll have that conversation later. But people need to remember, ESR never lost his place because he was dropped. He lost his place because he got injured. And, you know, he's had those struggles ever since. So, for me, I agree with Arteta. I believe in, you know, going with the people that are consistent and that are always available, you know.
Cool. All right. Well, we've got quite a few listeners' questions, actually. So we're going to try and get through as many as possible. I'll try and group them in with the player. So I've got one from C. Salu. I think he was on the... Discord, a Twitter space. So what are those things called again? Twitter spaces.
Yeah,
right?
Spaces. Yeah.
Yeah, spaces. He was quite good, actually, on the space. He asked, on a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you with Mr. Magalhães? We desperately need a profile like him at the back, but he also feels like a ticking time bomb. Are we overreacting?
On a scale of 1 to 10, 0.
Really? No concerns whatsoever?
No fucking concerns.
Mm.
Not a bit.
He isn't... See, I wouldn't give it a 0. I think he does kind of concern me a little bit because I don't feel we're safe with him in defence as I did previously. And I don't know, there seems to be like an accumulation of errors that it's making me feel that way. It's having like a compounding effect. I think he's a fantastic defender, but it's one of those things where people talk about, oh, he's he's going to make mistakes because he's that kind of front-footed defender. But some of the mistakes he makes isn't due to him being front-footed. It's just bozo stuff. Like the mistake against
Fulham,
right? That's nothing to do with being a front-footed defender. That's just you being a bozo. And it's those kind of things that kind of scare me. So I wouldn't say I'm with you at zero, Leroy, but at the same time, I wouldn't say I'm like, oh, 8 out of 10, I'm concerned, 10 out of 10. I'm definitely nowhere near that. I just do have this kind of feeling in my like stomach that I don't feel as, like Saliba fills me with confidence. I don't feel like he's got a bozo gene in him, right? But maybe that's because I haven't seen Saliba play enough. Maybe that will develop over time.
I've seen him play. He makes fair mistakes.
I know he makes mistakes, but not in the same... Do you think he makes the same kind of errors that Gabriel does? Like stupid stuff.
I feel like Gabriel's just a bit of form. Like he's hit a bad patch of form. This is, since he's come to the club, this is the worst bit of form that he's been in, right?
He had a bit of a shaky bit last year, though.
Didn't he? The shaky bit when he was dropped for Pablo Mari and people were saying Mari was better.
Yeah, that was
none of you will see heaven, by the way, for that.
That was a dark time for us, bro. But, I mean, none of us actually felt that way. That was just
But it's just like I feel like with him, he's got. I feel like he's, you know, the type of person that has to really work at their feet and things like that because it doesn't come naturally to them. And sometimes when he lacks a bit of concentration and he lacks a bit with his first touch and stuff, and because he's a very big, cumbersome guy, he's going to make errors. I don't think you're ever going to get this out of his game. It's going to be there. But overall, for what you get from Gabriel most of the time, I'm not that worried. I don't think this will ever change, by the way.
Sean?
Yeah, I'm like Leroy, I'm honestly not that worried. Maybe if you ask me to grade it, I might give it a 2-3 max. But honestly, I don't think it's that big an issue. I think what might have been exacerbated a bit this season as well is that he probably looks the least comfy out of all of this. So the back four that's played this season, Zinchenko is probably the most comfy. Then after that, you probably have Saliba and White, and then it's Gabriel. So for me, Gabriel might look the most clunky on the ball compared to the rest of them. And I think that's probably, you know, not helped, you know, perception to an extent as well. But I'm just not that worried. I just don't think it's that big of an issue, man. I think people talk about, and you know, it is a point. If you remember in the documentary, Albert spoke about sometimes Gabriel's first touch can be a bit inconsistent. So he was saying, you know, Gabriel, focus on your first touch. When your first touch is clean, the rest of the actions follow. So sometimes that can happen, because if you remember, that's how the mistake happened against Fulham. He took a bit of a clunky touch, took ages to get the ball out of his feet. Mitrovic robbed him and Mitrovic scored. But generally, his actual fundamentals as a defender, I think he's very good. And I like him because I think he's a rugged defender. He doesn't want to get had up. He likes going into his duels. I just don't think it's that big of an issue. And also, one thing I think people forget is that, one, he's still only 24.
And it's not even the age. He hasn't played football games. This is like his third, fourth full season.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So we still got a very, very young defender. He's improving all the time, in my opinion, as well. So I think he's done some fantastic stuff, because I think he bounced back really well against Aston Villa. I remember he was playing some sick balls that game as well, man. So I don't think it's that big of an issue. I think at the end of the day, the aggressive style we want to play, we want to defend on the halfway line. We want to play an aggressive style. I think our defenders are better equipped to deal with what we're trying to do than most defenders in the league, you know, so I don't think it's much of an issue. I think the issues, you know, probably both him, Saliba, all of them will face is it's more of a concentration one rather than anything else because of what we're doing. It's not a big thing for me, honestly. Sure. Right now, what we're doing is nitpicking heavily.
Yeah, I think that's, and I think this next question as well, I think is really nitpicking as well. It's from like Mike196. He says, when do we start to be concerned with Ramsdale? His distribution is elite, but poor positioning and his shot stopping terrible. Do you think we can improve that area of his game because it's been an issue for his whole Premier League career? I think people are being so harsh, man.
I'm more concerned about Ramsdale than I am about Gabriel.
I can see it, and it's not
a worry like I would
like he keeps you up at night. Yeah, like that.
Yeah. It's not something that's like that, because at the end of the day, players aren't perfect, man. They're just not. And I just think that, yes, his shot stopping could be better. Yes, he could do a bit better in certain situations. But what we get from him, it really helps the way we play. I just feel like...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Particularly like in certain situations where he's getting sort of, he needs to cut out the mistakes where it's like it's going through him and he's really costing us goals. Now, if he does that, then I don't really see it being a big issue either.
I do think people are just going a bit over the top though. It's like the Man United game, I had people coming up to me at the live show saying, look at your boy Ramsdale. I'm like, well, I don't understand what you want him to do. Like, I understand he's not an elite shot stopper, right? I know he's not a top-level shot stopper. But the goals that Man United scored, even your most elite shot stoppers are probably not saving those chances. So I don't really understand what you want him to do in that respect. And maybe I'm missing something. People might call me biased. I don't know what I'm missing here with Ramsdale. I really don't. I think he's a really good goalkeeper. I think he fills me with confidence with balls coming into the box. He's very secure, commanding his area, I would say. Probably sweeper keeping is not a strength of his. So, like, coming off his line and stuff like that. But I think he's shown that he's able to improve that area of his game. But, yeah, Sean, what about you? Are you particularly concerned?
No, I think I've said before, I'm not particularly sure how to... evaluate goalkeepers, but I can only judge on what I see. And yeah, he doesn't look the strongest from a shot stopping perspective, but the way I evaluate it as well is that I just think they place so much emphasis on what Ramsdale does on the ball that, you know, they're probably willing to maybe overlook some of the deficiencies, or they just think some of these deficiencies can be I end out with age. But what I find interesting as well, I remember after the Bournemouth game, Ramsdale done an interview and he said he's nowhere near where he wants to be. So I think he acknowledges that, you know, there's areas for improvement as well. So I just think as long as that's the case and, you know, we can strive and we start to see slow improvements over that, yeah, it's not the biggest concern for me. Though I acknowledge and I can see why people might have some doubts, definitely.
UEFA Champions League football is streaming on Paramount Plus. 9 months of heart-stopping, hold-your-breath exhilaration is underway, with the biggest stars, top teams, and craziest fan bases across Europe. Watch every game from the group stage through the knockout rounds as Benzema and Real Madrid defend their title against Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, PSG, Barcelona, and more in football's biggest club competition. So don't miss a single sweat-soaked second of regulation time, stoppage time, and extra time, and stream every match of the UEFA Champions League live, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Okay.
Anyway, Tibbs 11. He says, "Do you guys think it's time we look for replacements, not cover for Partey? Because honestly, his injury record is a mazzer, and also ESR sell." While stocks are high for same reason. Dr. Lee, would you... Oh, go on, Sean, yeah.
No, I'm going to let Lee wear a handle party, but I have to speak on ESR because obviously I'm an ESR stan. And sure. I think people are being jobless because I've just been seeing bad combos on ESR the last 2 days and it's actually pissing.
You feel the same way about Everton as I feel about Ramsdale.
Yeah. I can't... ESR slander touches my soul differently, bro. And so I had to go and do some research and I had to go and do some digging. So since Boxing Day 2020, Arsenal have played 67 league games. ESR has played in or has been available for 57 of them. So I think the narrative obviously is, you know, is probably a little bit skewed. Even in the league last season, ESR played 33 league games, you know. So he played 33 out of a possible 38 league games. So I think there are concerns because, you know, these things have been apparent since youth. So we're not... And, you know, they are muscle injuries. And obviously, Leroy can probably speak about this better than I can. But I remember Clichy and RVP used to have a lot of these when they were younger, innit? And they grew out of it.
That worked out fucking well.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he doesn't piss off. Obviously, he's an Arsenal boy, so hopefully he doesn't. Mm. But yeah, so I'm hopeful he can grow out of these, you know, muscle injuries. But when I'm seeing people say sell him, I'm like, bro, the brother scored 11 goals last season.
Yeah.
You know, 10 of them in the league as a 20-year-old. You got to remember how bad things were for Arsenal before Boxing Day. Before
he literally pulled us out of it by himself.
Bro, his form in basically the space of 18 months has been very, very good. And I feel like people have forgotten about that very, very, very quickly.
People are fickle, isn't it?
People are very fickle. And I'm glad Chelsea fans have stopped. Well, they haven't stopped because they were doing shamelessness. But when they were trying to talk about Gallagher being better than ESR, believe it, the way they've turned on that guy this season, because they've seen that his technical level is nowhere near ESR's as well, is clear for me for all to see. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying ESR doesn't have to pattern up. He has to pattern up his fitness. So he has to get fit. He makes sure his diet right, make sure he's on job properly. But stuff about selling him, I think he's mad, because even at worst, he will be a very good squad player.
Well, let me add this question to the dynamic then, Sean, because let me get it. Okay, Huscroft Jack, he says, do you think ESR needs to go out on loan next summer?
Like, brother, slap. Who you? Sorry, brother. Bro, just don't let me slap you. Man said, go on loan. Go on loan for what?
Why? Hey, Jack Huscroft, man. Jack Huscroft.
Hey, what's the app? Let me block it.
Be nice, guys. These are listening. Be nice.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But yeah,
you're offending the boys, Jack.
No, I can't lie. ESR slander gets me. It rattles me to the core.
I won't go on too long on ESR because I know Shane's just done that. But sell him, myth. Number one, these are injury problems. You can sort it out. They just need to identify the problem, figure out the problem. He needs to do his work and they'll be okay. Certain things mean so much to me as a fan. I don't know about you guys, but watching Saka and ESR come through and absolutely smash it, it's the same way, like I said back in the day, I wouldn't sell Jack Wilshere for 100 mil back then. I wouldn't sell ESR for 100 mil. I wouldn't say about Bukayo Saka for 200 mil. Like, watching those two play for us means so much to me. And as a fan, it just gives me so much joy. I wouldn't sell them. I just wouldn't sell them. If he wasn't performing and he wasn't good enough, that's a different story. But he is. He is good enough. So, yeah, not feeling that one bit. As for Partey, I'm going to have to give up on him. He's probably one of my favourite players in terms of his ability. But he's just not available. So at the end of the day, what I would like to see, someone who's younger, who's got a bit of work to do, but is of that quality or could be of that quality, that when Partey's out...
Any ideas?
I don't really know. But when we when he's out, we're not worried because he's got crazy ability, but is not going to be too pissed off about not starting every game and being a bit of an understudy. That's what I would love to see. I would, because if you buy Ruben Neves for 80 mil, he's going to want to start every week. You know what I mean? And I really do think, even if you buy Ruben Neves isn't as good a party. He's just not as good. And all these players, even though party is not available, they're just not as good as him. I was trying to think, who is as good as him that we could actually literally replace him with? There's not many.
It's very difficult, man. It's very difficult.
So I would like that. So, but we're going to have to start thinking about meeting short-term planning as well as long-term planning regarding him, but yeah, it is what it is.
It must be the London aspect. It must be. I just don't understand how a man can be completely injury-free your whole career, right? His injury record on Transfermarkt prior coming to Arsenal, I don't even think it existed. I don't think there was a page, bro. I don't think there was a link. There wasn't a link. They've now added the page since he came to Arsenal, and it's just full.
Right.
You know, it's insanity. It must be the London aspect. I can't think of anything else that it could be.
This is why I said
London is killing my people, man. This is why I said
Osimhen can't come to London. He'll be impacted by the exact same thing. I'm telling
and he gets
you.
Injured already.
Osimhen's already injury prone already. So
he will never play. Osimhen will never play.
Yeah.
DLT every weekend.
I'm sorry, yo. Party, it could be a number of things. I mean, there's obviously the sleep aspect, there's a diet aspect, there's stress aspect, there's how you're looking after yourself, but then there's also the intensity aspect. The league is a lot more intense. And he was playing in a massively slower league before, so there's that aspect. There's so many factors that we have.
And he probably wasn't starting for Atletico every week, was he?
He was, yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
For how long, though?
Not in his beginning seasons, but towards the end of his career at Atletico, yeah.
Right, okay. All right, cool. Let me just go quick fire through some of the rest of the questions. So, okay. Ah, here. Dr. Lee, you can talk on this because you're a bigger Balogun stan. Count Dracula. He says, what should we do about Balogun? Assuming we bring in another winger and Nketiah continues his development, should we move him on for a good fee or try to integrate him into the team at expense of someone else?
So
tough question, right?
Yeah, it's a tough question. So I've watched most of his games and he's impressed me so much. Like, even from the first minute, I was like, wow, he looks well above the level.
Yeah,
he looks so good out there. Like, he looks like a young phenom. Really, really good. I've said I don't think he makes it at Arsenal. The reason I don't think he makes it at Arsenal while Arteta's here is because he's not really a pressing forward and he doesn't really work particularly that hard off the ball. So based on that, because there's some players I like and we can talk about probably Nuno in a similar way, that I just don't think, even though they're really good players and good talents, I don't think they fit what we're trying to do. And if they don't fit what we're trying to do, we want to not make the mistakes that we've made previously and actually get good fees and good deals, buybacks, sell-ons, etc. for these players. So we've already got Eddie, who's exactly what Arteta wants. We've already got Gabriel Jesus. We've got Martinelli there, who can understudy in that role as well as a third backup. We're probably going to get another winger as well. I would be selling Balogun on with a buyback and a sell-on. Because if a different manager comes in, you never know, and he's going to explode. But that's what I would be doing in that situation, in a similar way to Nuno Tavares, and in a similar way to, not a similar way, because Kieran I'd just sell. But that's why the players that don't fit what Arteta wants to do, but their talents, we need to be extracting maximum value for them when their value is high. So he's going to probably end up with quite a lot of goals this season, very, very high value. For his age and experience, let's sell him, buy back, sell on, and hopefully he may be able to come back in a later date. But if not, then we've it served its purpose, you know. The academy's done its job.
Yeah, you don't think he could do potentially have a role to play on the left?
I think he could again, but I just don't think he's Arteta's type of player. So I just feel that. If he hasn't got those attributes, I feel that we are better pocketing the 40 mil because we need to start recouping some things and we need to start moving like an intelligent club who is being financially savvy and using all their resources really well. And I love the player, don't get me wrong. I'd love to keep him. I would love him to be a successful at Arsenal. I just don't see it with the current coach.
Yeah, fair enough. He is lighting it. He is lighting League One up. And you know what? People cast League One. It is not an easy league to score in. Never has been. I know Lacazette scored goals out there, but it's really not an easy league to score goals. You look at the goals tallies of strikers, good strikers that have been out there. They don't always slap in France. So he's doing really well, and he looks like their star player basically, which is great. Guna London, Sean, he asks, would any Arsenal player make it in the South All-Star team? I think this is from Todd Bowley's. Did you see Klopp? Bowley. Klopp is such a bitch. He's actually a proper bitch, you know. Like, I don't think there was any need for that response. I think, I know that the schedule is intense and stuff like that, but I think that's a great idea to have these like All-Star games. I know the managers won't like it because there's potential to get injuries and stuff like that. But I think games like that really do increase the potential of the Premier League and the product that it is. I think it's a great idea. I think the Premier League is too old school to even embrace that kind of that kind of concept. But yeah, to answer the question, would any Arsenal player make it in a South All-Star team?
Yeah,
I think they do 100%.
100%, because the North have got a much better team than the South. So, you know, Jesus could get in my opinion. Saka could get in my opinion.
Saliba, Jesus over Kane.
Even if you don't want to play Jesus up front, Jesus can play from the sides easily.
But he's probably not going to get in ahead of Son and Sterling.
Yeah, possibly.
Partey?
Partey gets in. I don't care what no one says.
Yeah. One of our centre backs, surely.
I would put Saliba in. I'm doing it.
Zinchenko. Put Zinchenko in there, yeah?
Boys, who's Spurs' left back? He's better than, to be fair, it's probably
fucking Sessegnon, bro.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, Cucurella gets
that. Fuck that. Okay, Cucurella, guy, fair.
I'm just thinking centre back wise, because obviously Chelsea
they got Koulibaly and but Fofana. I think Saliba and Gabriel are better than Koulibaly and
Fofana. And they were, both of them were on the bench in Potter's first game tonight. So
who? Say that again.
Both Fofana and Koulibaly were unused subs on the bench in Potter's first game tonight. So
boy, lights are on Potter, boy. That's my boy. But if I have to cook him, I will. If I have to turn against him, I've done worse before.
I've already done it. I've done it to you. I've done it on him. I've already got an agenda against Sterling. It makes me sick to have an agenda against Sterling, but listen, he plays for the ops, man. So F him, bro.
Listen, that's the game is the game. The ops will always be the ops. So if one of your boys goes to the ops, they're knocked out. That's it. That is how it goes. Let me see if I've got... I've got a question here from Baitface Nate. Kind of touched on this. He says... ESR, Tierney and Partey seem to be the most unreliable players in the squad in terms of availability. How would you look to change this, i.e. transfers out? We kind of already spoke about that, right? Like ESR, no, we're not selling. Tierney, Dr. Lee, I heard you said you'd sell Tierney. I heard it didn't go under the radar.
Again, I love the player. I think he's really good, but he's not suited for what this manager wants to do, clearly.
Sure, I hear that, yeah.
And I don't understand the point of having completely different profiles as your backup and you have to change the way you play completely. It doesn't really make sense. So we need someone who can do what Zinchenko can do, maybe not to quite a good level in the squad at left back. So that's the reason I sell him. And also, I think you could get good value for him as well. So you need to sell him now, really.
And because you can see it as well, like... When Tierney tries to drop into the centre of the midfield, I'm like, this Dom does not look comfy there, bro. He doesn't look it. Listen, my man wants to do his shuttle runs up and down the wing. That is my Brexit fullback. That's what I know Tierney for. Don't try and change KT, man. You can't do what Zinchenko... I saw him try to drop in and hit a dag. I said, KT, leave it at that, bro.
Hustler Eat S, he says, do you think Tierney should play in big games as Zinchenko is suspect when defending?
Arteta doesn't change the way he plays, home or away, big game, small game. If he can dominate, he will. Personally, I would be, because, for example, it wouldn't just be big games, it would be certain games. So, for example, Spurs, United, I'd be playing Tierney and I'd be saying, you have the ball. That's what I would do. But I don't think Arteta's built like that, so...
Yeah.
So yes, if it was me, but I don't think in Arteta's philosophy, no, because he wants to still control the game. So your team the best ability to do that.
Yep. Femster82 says, which first team player would you be okay selling next summer if it means funding more spending? We already spoke about the possibility of selling Tierney, selling Balogun. Are there any other players that you guys would look at potentially selling to, you know, we've still got Holding around. Nuno. Do you think you'd get a good fee for Nuno?
If you can't get a good fee for Nuno, Edu has to get Zach on the
spot. I was going
to
say, this is going to be a test of Edu because, like, Nuno, we booked for 8 mil.
I love Nuno.
No. The thing is, I think he's a good fullback and he's playing as a wing back in Marseille system at the moment. But just the reality is, you know, we just spoke about Tierney not being able to do what Zinchenko can. Tavares can't do it either. Do you know what I mean? He can't drop in. So
I think Tavares is better at it than Tierney, though. I think he has the potential to be better at it than Tierney.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I think there's a stellar player in there, definitely. But again, for the same reason, if he's not suiting what we're doing, he's going to come off a hot season and his value is going to be high. If you can get 35 mil for a left back that you bought for 8 mil 2 seasons ago, you sell. If you can get some clauses in there, great. but that's what you got to do.
So, sounds like you're coming around to Zinchenko there, Dr. Lee.
Do you know what? I'm still not that keen on him defensively, but if this is the way the manager wants to play, this is the way the manager wants to play. Like, you've got you got to go all in at the end of the day. But yeah, we should, if these play, this is the time now, because they're talking about all these cancelling contracts and all this kind of stuff. This is the time now where you've built the value in the squad. You've got valuable assets that are doing well away. They might not be suited to what you do. You're going to get offers for them, and you don't have to go around actually trying to flog them like £1 fish. So, for like,
come on, ladies, come on, ladies.
That's where you actually sell them. So this is where you actually extract the value that you've built in the squad, and this is what a good sporting director, technical director, whatever you want to call it, does. So this is what we're gonna have to do.
Cool. Asa from Touchlines and Touchdowns, big up you, Asa. He says, talk to me about Matt Turner. How was his debut? I didn't see anything.
I can't anything to me. I don't want to speak on that guy.
No, okay. Does it scare you?
Bro.
Right, okay.
The thing is, we're saying we have concerns about Rams, though, yeah? If I have to see this guy play 3-4 games in a row, we are in big, big trouble.
Wait, what is concerned about Matt Turner? Like, I haven't seen him play.
Everything.
He tried to play one pass out, yeah?
Yeah.
The thing is, he was brilliant along all day. He had one opportunity! One! Yeah. And he gave his number two.
Oh, why have we signed him?
No,
that's just commercial all over it, isn't it?
I can't lie to you, bro. I do not understand the purpose of why we signed this guy.
I tell you what, though, you know who's doing well? That Austin Trusty.
Yeah, I've seen bare rave reviews from him. Birmingham fans are like, this guy's sick. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I'm like, okay. I thought we signed that guy for money laundering purposes.
But we bought him. But the other guy, I think, was more money laundering. The who's the other one? Is it the centre back?
Yeah, Trusty, Austin Trusty.
No, there's another one in there.
No, it's two. We signed Matt Turner, we signed Austin Trusty, yeah.
I thought we signed another one.
No.
Or maybe Matt Turner was the money laundering. because here's me thinking this, all this time, I was thinking, oh, Matt Turner is like 1 mil, it's from the MLS. My man costs like 8 mil or something, bro. Yeah, like, bro. What?
And he's 28. That's a lot to spend on a goalkeeper from the MLS, you know. That's a lot of money to spend.
Peak, that is how Kroenke is getting money out of the club, bro. He can't do it like through traditional means. So he's going through back channels, going from New England, and New England are going to sign someone from fucking, what's his team in bloody America called? I can't remember.
Colorado.
Yeah, they're going to sign Colorado.
Some ice hockey player or something.
Yeah.
An ice hockey player. And that 8 mil is going to be in a fucking account in Panama.
Yeah.
With Nate Kroenke on it.
You see the vision, right? You see the vision. Yeah, anyway, all right, cool. Well, that's what we think about Matt Turner, Asa. So, yeah, do with that information what you will. Two more questions. Sam E91, he says, Mudrik Coin is the opposite of in the mud at the moment. Would you go for him and Jan, and what's the most you'd pay? I mean, there's a lot of hype about this Mudrik guy, right? He scored again tonight, I believe.
Yeah.
He looks good from the compilations I've seen. I haven't seen him in full game. Right?
I've watched both Champions League games now of him. Right. He was all right tonight, but I thought against who did I play first game? Away, Shakhtar.
No, he played for Shakhtar.
Sorry. No, who did they were away? Who's the other team in their group? Leipzig.
Madrid,
yeah, sorry. Oh. No, Leipzig. Leipzig first game they played away to Leipzig. He destroyed them.
Really?
His PMP is peak, so peak.
Is he tall? He's tall, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
got like
he's
that
short winger. Yeah, but his ability to dribble off both feet, keep the ball close while running at mad speed is crazy. He's a really good player, man. But I feel like his profile now, everyone knows about this brother. Everyone knows about
it. Now, the summer was the time to get him, basically.
Yeah, I've sipped the Kool-Aid, but it's too late, man. He's going to go somewhere else. But it's a shame because he looks good.
Yeah, no wonder Shakhtar wanted to sell him for... But how much they were asking for, like 30 million, was it, or something?
They rejected like 30 mil from Everton, I believe. Yeah. So, yeah, the price of that brick is going up every game, man.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, definitely. Last question. Yonko Abs, he asks a random question, but how do you think we'd fare against this current AC Milan team with our best team? Are AC Milan in Europa League with us?
No, Champions League. Bro, they're Serie A champions, bro.
Oh, shit. No, I'm so used to AC Milan being mid. You know, like...
Nah, and that's the scary thing about... It's annoying and it's scary because Gazidis is the one who's revamped that whole project. And then they have poster boy Liao, who's, in my opinion... Mm-hmm. He's like one of the top five wingers in world football, bro.
Really? That good,
Rafael Leao is going to be signed probably for like 100 mil. Probably by like someone like Man City next summer.
He's moving, man.
He's peak. There's nothing he can't do, bro. Yeah. Nothing.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
But to answer the question, it's a weird one because...
They're still playing Giroud up front. So it's like, I'm looking at that team. I know Giroud is good, but like I'm looking at that team and... Man for man, Arsenal are better.
To be fair, Theo Hernandez at left back is sick.
He's cold. So is Zinchenko.
Tomori,
I'm not having over Gabriel Saliba.
No, I wouldn't. I like him though. He's a good player.
Who's the other centre back that they have?
Is it Kalulu or is it?
No, don't they have another one from Chelsea?
No, Tomori was from Chelsea.
Yeah, but. Another geezer from Chelsea.
But I like their midfield too. Ben Esser, who I've always rated, and I would have loved him back at Arsenal. But really, really good player. Sandro Tonali as well. Really, really good player. And they've just signed Charles de Cataler from Club Bruges. Really, really big talent. I don't really rate their wingers, to be fair, apart from Leao.
Yeah, I've not seen his Salamancas.
Nah, he's mid.
Brahim Diaz didn't make it at Man City, but
at Real Madrid either. So he's all right, but he's not.
You like Tonali, don't you?
It's not me. I think Tonali's okay, but I think it's one of those Italian players that's just bare hyped. I think Benes is better than him personally. Leao from there, Leao would walk into our team.
Mm. But the others maybe questionable.
Yeah, 100%. What annoys me with Giroud is how he's just become so clutch as he gets older and older, considering, like, you know, there was a comp on the TL the other day, bro, because all our setting this brother up in 2011-12, and this brother was just missing. I was a top Giroud stan
back then as well, bro, and even then I couldn't defend him, bro.
Bro, I said his PR outside of Arsenal is through the roof, bro.
Yeah.
But obviously, us Arsenal fans, bro, we saw it live and direct, bro. So... Yeah,
he's definitely a player who's got he's peaked with
He's definitely peaked with age, 100%.
But that's all strikers done most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, not Lacazette. Lacazette peaked when he was 21, bro.
I tell you now, Lacazette could have come to Arsenal at 22 years old and he would be doing the same back in the centre back. I've been saying it for 4 years before we signed him. Every year, I was like, "We should go for Lacazette." I'm like, "Nah, the guy's got no burst,
no PMP at all, man." He's doing all right at Lyon now, though, isn't he? To be honest, I might have to take back what I said about
Lyon. It's mad. He's lost weight, grown his hair back, and he started scoring again. I can't believe it, bro.
He's going back to his roots, bro.
Yeah, honestly.
Anyway, cool. We'll leave it there. Good pod, guys. Went on for a little bit longer than we had expected, but yeah, you know, thanks for all the questions. We appreciate them. Sean, Dr. Lee, I'll leave you guys to enjoy the rest of your evening, and hopefully we'll be back with a patron piece after we beat Brentford, man. And it would be six wins from seven, would that be?
Yeah, if six wins from seven if we win.
Yeah. All right, then, lads. Take it easy.
Cool. Peace.
It's got to 2-2 and we've still got more than half an hour to go, and here's Ozil, Lacazette, Ozil!
Yo!
Sports Social Podcast Network.